I flew up to Mexico City. I was nervous going through the airport. Some cop or immigration inspector might spot me. I checked into an 8-peso hotel near Sears and walked over to Lola's, my stomach cold with excitement. The bar was in a different place, redecorated with new furniture. The major walked in, a retired army man, gray-haired, vigorous, stocky. I ran through the list crisply with the major. Johnny White, Russ Martin, Pete Crowley, Ike Scranton.
Los Angeles, Alaska, Idaho, don't know, still around. He's always around.
And oh, whatever happened to Allerton? To Allerton.
Allerton, don't believe I know him.
See you
nightly, take it easy.
I walked over to Sears and looked through the magazines at one called Balls for Real Men. I was looking at a photo of a Negro hanging from a tree. I saw them swing Sonny Goons. A hand fell on my shoulder. I turned, and there was Gale, another retired army man. I ran through the list.
Most everybody is gone. I never see those guys anyway. Never hang around Lola's anymore.
I asked about Allerton.
Allerton!
Tall, skinny kid, friend of Johnny White's and Art Gonzalez.
He's gone too.
I put the magazine away slowly and walked outside and leaned on a post. Then I walked back to Lola's. Burns was sitting at a table, drinking a beer with his maimed hand.
Hardly anybody around. Johnny White and Tex and Crosswheel are in Los Angeles.
I was looking at his hand.
Did you hear about Allerton?
No.
He left about 5 months ago as a guide to an army colonel and his wife. They were going to sell a car in Guatemala, a 48 Cadillac. I felt there was something not quite right about the deal. Allerton never told me anything definite. You know how he is.
Art seemed surprised. I had not heard from Allerton.
Nobody has heard anything from him since he left. It worries me.
That night I dreamed I finally found Allerton hiding out in some central American backwater. He seemed surprised to see me after all this time. In the dream, I was a finder of missing persons. Mr. Allerton, I represent the Friendly Finance Company. Haven't you forgotten something, Jean? You're supposed to come and see us every third Tuesday. We've been lonely for you in the office. We don't like to say pay up or else. It's not a friendly thing to say. I wonder if you have ever read the contract all the way through. I have particular reference to Clause 6X, which can only be deciphered with an electron microscope and virus filter. I wonder if you know just what or else means, Jean. I know how it is with you young kids. You get chasing after some floozy, and you forget all about friendly finance, don't you? But friendly finance doesn't forget you.
The skip tracer's face went blank and dreamy. His mouth fell open, showing teeth hard and yellow as old ivory. Slowly, his body slid down in the leather armchair until the back of the chair pushed his hat down over his eyes, which gleamed in the hat's shade, catching points of light like an opal. The skip tracer was talking in a voice languid and intermittent, like music down a windy street.
You meet all kinds on this job, kid. Every now and then, some popcorn citizen walks in this office and tries to pay friendly finance with this shit.
He let one arm swing out, palm up, over the side of the chair. Slowly, he opened a thin brown hand with purple-blue fingertips to reveal a roll of yellow $1,000 bills. The hand turned over, palm down, and fell back against the chair. His eyes closed. Suddenly, his head dropped to one side and his tongue fell out. The bills dropped from his hand one after the other and lay there crumpled on the red tile floor. A gust of warm spring wind blew dirty pink curtains into the room. The bills rustled across the room and settled at Allerton's feet.
Keep that in case you're caught short, kid. Now it is in this spick hotel. You have to carry your own paper.
About your account, I'll be around soon. That is within the next few.
The skip tracer's voice was muffled.
We'll come to some kind of an agreement.